We're going to look at a little bit at the subject of discipleship from Acts chapter 11. And the text is Acts 11, 19 through 26. And this is the occasion where Barnabas is sent up to Jerusalem to Antioch, and then finding things going along quite well there in Antioch, he goes off to Tarsus to get Saul, whom we know as the Apostle Paul, and they teach in the church then at Antioch. So Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you call us to be your followers, to be your disciples. And we thank you that this whole matter of discipleship involves your church, an institution that you've been pleased by your grace to plant in this world. And we thank you that we are part of your church. And because this is the case, we are caught up in this program of yours, this plan and purpose of yours to disciple the nations. And we ask that you might enlighten our eyes and give us better understanding with regard to the task that you have been pleased to give us. And this matter of the work of the church along this line. So bless us and give us grace in our understanding, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Several years ago, there was a one-frame cartoon in Christianity Today, and it was very simple. It was just a stake in the ground with a board nailed to the stake for a sign. And on the sign, there were two words, to observe. Those are the two words, to observe. And the caption to the little cartoon was, the most neglected words in the Great Commission. So you have to think that through a little bit. We're called to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. And the idea of the little cartoon was that we kind of gloss over the to observe part and just get to teaching them all that I have commanded you. And neglect the observe part. The interesting and striking thing about this is that another way that you can understand discipleship is with the word apprentice. An apprentice is someone who takes on a task and works under a master and engages in on-the-job training. And this is what discipleship is. It's not just pumping a bunch of information into our heads from the Bible, but it's on-the-job training under our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this discipleship is a work of the church. And this is what I want you to see this evening as we look into Acts chapter 11 and verses 19 and following, that this discipleship is a work of the church, and you and I are called into this apprenticeship program, if you will, and to be trained on the job day by day as disciples of Jesus Christ. So, let's get into this text a little bit and see how we get to this point. Verse 19. Just going to go through the text. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews alone. After Stephen was hauled before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7, there arose a persecution, and it was against the church generally in Jerusalem, and so believers were scattered into Samaria and then to other areas. And believers, as this text says, were scattered to Phoenicia, which is modern-day Lebanon, along the eastern coast of the Mediterranean, and to Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, in the northeast of the Mediterranean Sea, and to Antioch, which lies today in the area of Turkey, the geographical area of Turkey, and it's about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. In the day of the disciples, it would have taken about 15 days to travel from Jerusalem to Antioch, those 300 miles, about 20 miles a day walking. A good hike. And interestingly enough, you notice in verse 19, those who were scattered were speaking the word to no one except Jews alone. There was a little bit of prejudice in their hearts. Striking, is it not? They wouldn't talk to Gentiles. Those Gentiles, those are the people who live on the other side of the tracks. We're not going there. we're going to talk to the more dignified people, the Jews alone. Unfortunately, you and I too often have these kinds of prejudices that we steer away from people who are not of our own socioeconomic status and group. We're not ready to speak to others. And so we have to check our hearts along this line. But here's what happens now in the text. Verse 20. But there were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the first wave of folks that had been converted and from the persecution went to Cyprus and went to North Africa, Cyrene in North Africa, preached the gospel to Jews only. And then those whom they saw converted came back to Antioch, the second wave of converts. And they didn't have the same prejudices of the first wave of converts. They talked to Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And so now you have a large number of converts in the city of Antioch, as I say, 300 miles north of Jerusalem. And the news now trickles down to Jerusalem. Verse 22, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. We got to check this out and see what's happening up there in Antioch. We're hearing good things. And so they send Barnabas off to Antioch. And verse 23, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, praise be unto God, these converts, people coming to Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus Christ. When he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. So Barnabas gets up there. He's the son of encouragement. He's giving encouragement to these converts. Remain steadfast to the Lord. Stick to your confession of faith. Live for Jesus Christ, etc., etc. But now Barnabas is overwhelmed. There's a lot of work to do. Verse 24 tells us a little bit about Barnabas and why he did the good work that he did. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. More individuals are brought to Christ. More converts. This is a beautiful thing. Out on the mission field, as it were. Work of believers talking to other believers produces more converts, more believers, and Barnabas' encouragement of these believers produces further believers in the city of Antioch. Would that we'd have that kind of a revival in Indianapolis. This would be a tremendous thing, wouldn't it? To be overwhelmed with the number of converts that we would see. Pray that God would pour out His Holy Spirit in Indianapolis and in other places and bring about this kind of awakening and revival, that we would see massive conversions taking place. Not just a dribble here and a dribble there and a dribble there, but many people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And verse 25 says, he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. Apparently he needs help. And in such circumstances, you could understand it. Raising my hand, help, Lord. Bring someone else to work in this circumstance and work in this situation. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. Apparently he finds him. And verse 26 says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so the two of them now are laboring together in Antioch to minister to and to teach these converts. And the verse goes on to say, and for an entire year they met with the church. Now, notice what's happening here. There's a shift in the text. There's a shift in what's taking place. There's a shift in the circumstances. Not too subtle, I hope. First of all, a mass of converts. But now, all of a sudden, it's not just a considerable number came to know the Lord, but now Dr. Luke, in Acts 11:26, speaks here of the church. What's happening? The Great Commission is being carried out. Think about it again now. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. And how do you make disciples? Jesus says, in two ways you make disciples. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or to do all that I have commanded you. So the first thing is baptizing them. Baptizing them. Let's look at the text again. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples. You see what Dr. Luke says? Now we have not just converts, but we have disciples. And what this means is that these converts were brought into the visible body of an organized congregation. There was a church planting effort that went on in Antioch. A church was planted there, and individuals were brought into the membership of this church by way of baptism. This was a carrying out of the Great Commission. Baptism, you see, is an ordinance of the church. It's the doorway into the visible church. It just doesn't hang out there. This ordinance that we call baptism just doesn't hang out there kind of in a vacuum. It has to do with the visible body, the church. And when individuals by confession of faith are brought into the membership of this congregation, as they are in all other congregations, it's by way of baptism. And this is what happens to us, you see. And discipleship begins with baptism. And then the Great Commission says, teaching them to observe or to do all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. And of course, idea of teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you means everything in the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. This is a lot. This is a lot of information to impart and to teach. And it's not just teaching the information, but teaching individuals how to walk in that information and how to carry out that information and how to do the things that are spoken by Jesus Christ. You see, we're talking about an apprenticeship, on-the-job training. And all of us, myself included, I am included in this and you are included in this. We are all in the midst of a discipleship program created by God, which is church-centered, which is associated with the visible church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's quite a striking thing that this should be the case. So with this in mind, look at Acts 11:26 again. And when he found him, that is Paul, he brought him to Antioch, and for the entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples. See, now we don't have just a loose group of converts, but now we have disciples. Now we have individuals who are engaged in on-the-job training as Christians. And the next little piece of the text is significant in Acts 11:26, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. What is a Christian? According to this text, a Christian is not just a convert that's out there wandering around and says, "Well, I made a confession. I went to a church meeting." And they had an evangelist there, and I made a confession of faith, and now I'm back out doing my thing in the world, and I'm a convert. Okay. But it's not just the convert that's called a Christian. It's a disciple that's called a Christian. An individual who is is vitally connected to the visible church of the Lord Jesus Christ and is sitting under the teaching of others to learn to do the things that Jesus Christ has taught in the Bible. Those are people that are called Christians, that individuals who are actively pursuing the life of Jesus Christ by doing the things that Jesus commands. These are the individuals that are recognized as Christians. Our prayer, dear friends in Jesus Christ, our prayer should be that our congregation should be seen by the folks in our city as Christians. And we should be seen as Christians because we are recognized as people who actively live out the Christian faith and strive to observe and to do all the things that Jesus Christ has commanded. It's one thing to pack our brains week by week full of the things of the Bible and memorize the various scriptures. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing, is it not, to live by that truth in all that we do. And this is what we are being encouraged to do in the scriptures. And so, this is my exhortation to you tonight. To not just simply think of yourselves as members of Second Reformed Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's good. So far, so good. as I say, so far, so good. But to consider yourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, individuals who are engaged in on-the-job training in Christianity, so that wherever you go and whatever work you are engaged in the end, you are recognized as being different than other people in this city because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And people will say to you, there is a Christian. There is a Christian. Isn't that the will of God for you and for me? And it's very striking, it seems to me, that as you and I look at this text and understand this idea of church and discipleship in verse 26, the idea of baptism is in the background. It's not in the foreground. It's in the background because what we're finding there is an implementation of the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the sacraments are part of that which you and I are called to observe and do. Part of what Jesus Christ has commanded you and I to observe and to do. And that's one reason, you see, why we are gathered together this evening for the purpose of observing. See, here, there's that word now. Right? Of observing the Lord's Supper. Right? To do in part what Jesus Christ has commanded. And this is, as we understand it properly, a means of grace where God is pleased to work in and through the sacrament to give you strength and resolve to observe other things in your life which you need to observe to be the disciple of Jesus Christ that He has called you to be. And so I say to you, properly understanding this text means that discipleship is on-the-job training and it's church-centered. And here we are. Here we are. We are Christ's disciples. And our purpose is not to just pack our heads full of Bible facts, but to understand that word of truth and to live by it and to observe it. May God be pleased to give us all grace to do so.